Well, hey, everyone. I am very pleased this week for our culture segment of the show to have yet another first-time guest. But many of you have probably, if you've read magazines, if you've listened to other radio shows, if you've watched 60 Minutes, if you've watched 2020, you have perhaps heard the story of Nick Vujicic. Nick, welcome.
Thank you, Lisa.
Very glad to have you. We appreciate the fact that you are Australian, because when we can diversify and bring someone in from across a pond, we appreciate it. So,
thank you for having me. Hello, down under. I'm going to tell you, you're going to get criticism about my accent, because my accent's fleeting from me for the last 6 years being in California.
Are they going to disown you?
No. Australians are nice. They still love me. I still love them.
That's good. I met a couple Australian fans recently who taught me some Australian, you know.
Fed income?
Well, like they tried to teach me some terms and stuff, and I've already forgotten what they were. They were really obscure.
Was it fed income?
Maybe.
Did you hear about that one?
That might have been one of them.
Yeah. It's interesting. Just we have our own language. It's pretty funny.
That is. Well, we'll learn it in bits and pieces, I guess. We are here. Nick actually has authored a new book that is out. It is called Unstoppable. He also authored Life Without Limits. He is the founder of lifewithoutlimbs.org, and we're going to tell you a little bit more. You know, definitely go and check out the site even while we're talking. But those of you that know Nick's story know that he was born without limbs. And honestly, you're like one of what, 6, 7, 8 known people? What are we talking here?
No, what? In the world, we obviously don't really know how many.
Okay.
It's very, very, very rare, but I have actually met 17 people.
17?
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Isn't that cool?
Okay, that is cool.
Yeah, most of them are younger than me.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's sad. Speaking of which, I have to call you. You are going to be 30 coming up, aren't you?
Hey, that's great news.
Oh, is that good news?
It's great
news. That's good. Yeah. Okay. How do you feel about that, about growing up and maturing and hitting the 30?
You know what? I've learned so much in the last 2 years. In fact, so much of that is about in Unstoppable, actually. Mm-hmm. Just the last 2 years of my life had changed dramatically. We just got married, my wife and I, in February this year. And
congrats.
Thank you. And we're pregnant.
We support marriage here at The Boundless Show, and we support kids.
Great.
So you're already on target with us.
Wonderful.
That's good.
So my son that we're expecting in February next year has 10 fingers and 10 toes, and we're thrilled, thrilled, thrilled. We love him anyway, whatever, you know, he had or not had. But we are just beside ourselves in joy, and I've had the best year of my life, and I'm just looking forward to the next decade.
That's a great way to celebrate. That is for sure.
You think I should have a party?
I think you should, and I think you should invite us from the Boundless Show.
Sounds so great.
We are all about parties. In fact, I would say that we improve parties. We've been invited to some parties that otherwise would have failed,
I would say. Oh my
gosh. Martha and I single-handedly, we improve things, don't we?
Excellent.
We do. Okay, I want to back up and talk a little bit about your story, because even though we kind of know of you and we've seen you, you know, we know that you tour a lot, you speak a ton, you're an author, you are just, I don't even know, well, I mean, that's why you wrote Unstoppable. Honestly, I don't even know how you do all this. It's amazing how you keep up this kind of schedule, but you know, your story, and anyone can read this, you know, your parents were not expecting you to be born without limbs, and I'm sure it was quite a shock to them. Mm-hmm. But I want to know, do you remember the age, or do you remember the time when you first realized that you were different, and what do you remember about that?
When I was, growing up in my home, my family loved me, of course, and my brother and sister who were born after me with limbs, you know, we would fight just like any other siblings and wrestle and have fun and play Nintendo and all that. And, you know, going around to church and, you know, being with all my cousins, I didn't think, you know, it was such a big deal having no arms, no legs. I knew I had no limbs. But it was definitely when I went to school and saw everyone with arms and legs but me. I was the only one in a wheelchair. Mm. And, you know, my parents didn't know why I was born this way. My doctors didn't know why I was born this way. And the first question everybody asks me is, what happened, you know? And I would get sick and tired of saying, I don't know, I don't know. So I started saying cigarettes. And which is really cool because, you know, kids aren't going to, you know, smoke anymore. Well, not that they were, but you know what I'm saying. Right. But it was just difficult time, you know, for me trying to work out who am I supposed to be? Mm-hmm. Why do I have less? What did I do to deserve this? And feeling like I was a burden to my parents. So all these thoughts started at 5, 6 years old. But depression really hit at around age 8. Mm. And it wasn't like I was an introvert. I'm very much an extrovert. My hands fly everywhere when I speak. but it's really something that, you know, no one had an answer to. And I had so many questions. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't that I hated my life or that I just sat in a corner and, you know, cried. I wasn't like that at all. I tried to get myself involved in everything I could. But it was just those days where I'm like, man, I just got teased the whole day and laughing at, and, you know, and I'm like, what's this life all about? You know, if there mm-hmm. is no purpose for me here, mm-hmm. and if I'm just going to be a burden to my parents, and if I'm just going to get teased and I'll never get married, never hold my wife's hand, and, you know, never have anything to look forward to, then, you know, what's the point of living?
Yeah. So that's quite a thing to grapple with at a young age, for sure. And what in yeah. the world was it? I mean, most people have crises of faith, you know, the earliest in their 20s, when yeah. they wake up and they're like, my life's not where I thought it was going to be, whatever, why am I not married, all kinds of, you know, woe is me scenarios, right. been through them myself. What turned you around? What really made you realize that God had something bigger for you in this?
Well, I really felt like God owed me an explanation for why he made me this way. I was a PK as well, a pastor's kid, so I would, you know, hear the gospel every Sunday and hear about God's love, but it didn't make sense to me. I prayed for arms and legs, as we pray to the God who can give miracles. And I have a pair of shoes in my closet just in case he says yes to me today. And I prayed for hundreds of people, and I've seen 11 people, blind eyes seeing, deaf ears hearing, lame people walking. I've seen that. We got on camera. So I see the supernatural power of God. But when you don't have faith and you're in that, you know, depression of, well, you know, he's maybe not real. You know, I need to be a better person before he hears my prayers and all these sort of things. And age 10, I tried to commit suicide by trying to drown myself in 6 inches of water. I didn't go through with it because of the thoughts of seeing my mom and my dad crying at my grave and leaving that pain behind just, you know, was enough for me to say, okay, I don't know what my life's about, but I'm going to stay around because my parents don't deserve that pain. Age 13, sprained my foot. Playing soccer, felt disabled for the very first time, in bed for 3 weeks. And then God finally answered my prayer when I read John chapter 9, a man was born blind, and no one knew why he was born that way. And Jesus said it was done so that the works of God would be revealed through him. And I realized, wow, the blind man didn't need to know what God had in mind for God to actually be able to perfect his plan. You know, many times we want to know the A, B, C, and X, Y, Z of God's plan for our life before we really trust him. Mm-hmm. But trust is about not knowing and saying, God, here I am, carry me when I can't walk. And that's when you become unstoppable. Knowing that his grace is sufficient, knowing that all things do come together for the good for those who love him, to the point where he doesn't actually waste pain. And when you don't get a miracle, you can still be a miracle for someone else. Mm-hmm. You asked me about how many people, you know, in the world there are with no limbs. The first person I met who's very similar to me was about 5 years ago, probably 6 years ago now, in Southern California. His name was Daniel, 19 months old. And he saw me at a church, and his family was there. And, you know, we locked eyes, and I couldn't believe what I was seeing. And couldn't believe it. I got his father to put him up on stage, and everyone was crying. And that's when God spoke to me very, very clearly. In understanding that when you don't get a miracle, you can still be a miracle for someone else. And that's what I want people to know, that you don't know what God can do with your broken pieces until you give him your broken pieces. And he is the only person who can make something beautiful out of ash.
That's good. And I like that in the midst of all this, it's not like you just ceased living life. I mean, really, the things that you can do are incredible. I mean, I have seen you golf. I've seen you swim. I've seen you type. I've seen you. I mean, what is
surfing,
the craziest thing that
diving,
you can do?
Surfing, scuba diving, and skydiving is my latest.
Yeah. Okay. I can't even. I'm going to the Caribbean in the winter.
You gotta
do
it.
Dive. I'm just too afraid of that.
No, you have to do it. It is
well.
So
actually,
much
after
fun.
Reading Unstoppable, now maybe I do need to do it. So now I have to take a dose of your medicine.
That was great. My knees were shaking a little bit, but it's all good.
Ugh. So what is, I mean, when people ask you, what do you feel is the craziest thing that you can do? Given, I mean, you're, you know, like you said, life without limits, but what do you even say to yourself? Wow, I learned to do this. Or that was more difficult to master.
You know, I like trying new things. I like challenging myself. Mm-hmm. I like to just step out of my comfortable zones. And that was definitely true when 2009, I took up the role of acting in a short film called The Butterfly Circus that's available on YouTube, The Butterfly Circus. Check it out. 30 million people watched it. Never acted in my life as far as in a film, and just the opportunity came, and it was just it was a script that I just had to do. And I definitely surprised myself, you know, in seeing that, to the point where I love trying new things. It's just in me, you know, because as a kid, I didn't know what I could achieve until I tried it. Mm-hmm. My parents didn't know what I could actually do until I gave it a go. Mm-hmm. And so that was just within me, a resilience and just a stubbornness in wanting to try. And it's not like a macho pride, hey, look what I can do. It's just enjoying life. And for me, in everything that I do, whether it's acting in the Butterfly Circus, or doing my music video, I wrote the storyboard for it. It's called Something More. And I sang a friend's song of mine, covered it. I'd never sang professionally before, and now that's inspired me to do an album. And so, you know, books and everything, every milestone in my life, everything that I do, it always comes back to bringing a message of hope. Mm-hmm. And as far as what extraordinary things we can do here on this earth, there is nothing greater on this earth to do in your life than to know God more and to experience and share how it is that others experience him and how we can share that love with them as well. You know, I can't wait for heaven, but there's one thing better than going to heaven today is to bring someone else along with me. Mm-hmm. And so I've only got 90 years on this earth, and you know, I don't blame God at all, and did blame him as a child, but now I see that, you know, it wasn't his fault that I have no arms, no legs. It's not his fault that there are you know, millions of people going hungry today and 120 million slaves. That's all the enemy. But what the enemy tried to use for bad, when we commit our lives to him, he can definitely turn bad things, even the worst parts of our life, into something beautiful.
Hmm. Well, I hear you. I have rheumatoid arthritis, so I'm limited at times. You know, I mean, there are some things that drugs can't solve, you know, or therapies or whatever. And so I've found a lot of kinship with elderly folks, you know, folks who have difficulty moving their joints and stuff, and have really found a neat connection with them and learning their stories and how they look for heaven and want to, you know, obviously feeling like they lived a full life and want to reflect on that, and are so excited about the people in their lives and what they've had a chance to do and to broadcast Jesus to folks, but to just be so excited about meeting him face to face as well. It's awesome. Okay, so we talk about all these things that you can do, and obviously it seems like it is limitless, but I want you to talk a little bit, share with us, Nick, about a time where you had to grapple with failure on any level, or disappointment, or, you know, something where God really had to teach you, you know, through this, that without him, you know, you weren't going to get ahead, you weren't going to do something.
You know, the scariest position we can be in on this life is feeling that we don't need him for every single detail in our life. Mm-hmm. And not just what we do or who we are, but when we act. Mm-hmm. You know, when God gave me a vision for 17 projects to do, it was something that I could, quote unquote, financially try, you know, start up 17 projects that, you know, we can make money to donate money to, you know, the Ministry of Life Without Limbs. You know, having a 501c3 nonprofit, you know, it's hard to raise funds, and I hate asking people for money, and I'm that type of person that I'd rather make money than donate it. So that's what I tried to do. And I really felt I heard from the Lord about these projects, and these are all from him, but I never actually said, well, wait a second, just because I can do them, does it mean you want me to do them now? And everyone was telling me to slow down. My board, my staff members, between years 2007 and 2010, I traveled 600 flights, spoke 1,000 times, and that's no exaggeration, and I hit a brick wall of burnout, and I went into a depression, and that's why I love my book Unstoppable, because it really takes off any layer of privacy in my life. Not only do we share girls, you know, the love story of how me and my wife met and blah, 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 and all that good stuff. But, you know, we talked about how unstoppable itself doesn't mean bulletproof. It just means, you know, that we all go through ups and downs. As long as we keep our focus on God, our priorities right with him, in our relationship with him, and then have a priority of my family and then have a priority of ministry. That's what God blesses. And, you know, I started to believe, unfortunately, in my flesh that I was carrying the ministry. And of course, you know, the more I speak, the more support comes in, the more we can do. And so I just continued to feel like I was on this treadmill that I'd never get off. And when everything crashed and my 17 projects came to a pinnacle, I just cried and I started doubting that, man, maybe I can't even trust myself in hearing the voice of God. You know, where did I go wrong? What happened? And it was a big failure. At the time, my wife and I were courting for 3 months, and to see her love me through that was, in fact, if that was the only fruit that came from that time, then it was all worth it, because I saw how much she loved me and I saw her devotion to me. That, you know, I knew she would never leave me, because I had nothing to give. I was crying like a baby, couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, woke up in panic attacks. And, you know, she was there to pick up the broken piece and just pray with me, cry with me. And that was amazing. But I learned so much more in that. And so I want people to know that, you know, just because I'm an evangelist who's traveled, you know, 44 countries and met 7 presidents and spoken at 5 congresses and crowds as large as 110,000 and 500,000 have said yes to Jesus, we all still go through ups and downs. None of us are immune from falling. Mm-hmm. But it's when you do fall, you see the grace of God, the faithfulness of God. And that's where you really walk by faith and not by sight, not by what you feel, but by the word of God.
Well, you referenced your wife, Kanae, and your little son on the way. I want to know, you know, it seems in the stuff that I've read that you've always desired marriage and family. And
yes.
I want to know, Nick, I mean, how did you intentionally prepare for that? Because, you know, you're not off the hook just because you're out and about speaking and stuff. You still, there's a role for a husband and a father and all that.
Yeah.
You can't just say, I'm this big guy that writes books and goes out and speaks, and so you're going to want to marry me. I'm sure you had to prepare for that. So I want to know, how did you prepare for it? And then did you ever reach a season in your singleness, in your 20s especially, where you were kind of, you know, fearful or doubting, like, oh, will this ever be part of my story? How can I remain hopeful for this?
Really good question. I was actually depressed about the fear of, as a child, not ever being able to be married. What kind of a provider am I going to be? What kind of a husband am I going to be? What kind of a father am I going to be if I can't even pick up my kids when they're crying? So that was a big reason why I tried to commit suicide at age 10. As I, you know, saw other marriages around me, you know, you would try and be hopeful that one day someone would actually see past the physical and still want to be with me. You know, it's sort of a commitment where we understand that marriage is more about giving than sharing or receiving, but this is a whole new level. And so I understood that. However, what I want people to know is, if you're single, don't wait to be married before you're really happy, because that is not a source of happiness. There is a blessing that is beyond belief and explanation what it means to be united in matrimony, holy matrimony, with a woman and for life. And I can't describe to you my joy. However, I needed to be content in Jesus, single, you know, and until I find that peace within and even be okay to be single for the rest of my life. Has that thought come across, you know, my mind many times? Absolutely, especially through my teenage years. So it was very difficult to believe, though, that God does know the desires of your heart. And, you know, the question as well of being on the road so much, like, how am I ever going to meet someone, you know, and am I ever going to slow down? Mm-hmm. And we met.
You and Rebecca St. James, she told us the same thing.
There you go.
Like, how am I going to meet
someone? There you go, yeah.
So,
and, you know, we're good friends. And mm-hmm. so I look up to her and I thanked her because her message of purity really rang true in my sister's life. And so a lot of credit for my sister's purity before marriage, you know, is from Rebecca's ministry. And so, there are great examples out there, maybe only a handful of great examples out there, but that's what you hold on to, and holding on to understanding that God's never late, he's always on time, and no matter what best I get my eyes locked into on any level for anything in my life, you lay it down, mm-hmm. say, God, here it is. If this is what you want, make it happen. Mm-hmm. And we did that in a very real way, me and my wife. Mm-hmm. When we found that we had a mutual connection, There was a bit of a complication. She had a boyfriend. And oh, she'd never felt anything.
You didn't kill him, did you?
No, I didn't kill
him. Okay, good.
No. But the thing is, she never felt, you know, what we felt together with anybody else. And it was huge. But we had to lay it down. And a further complication was our mutual friend tried to hook me up with my wife's sister, which made it more complicated as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole story is in there and is great. And we truly laid it down. No text, no email, no phone. And if it was truly God, things would work out. So it worked out. So hold on to God. God will hold on to you. I don't want my best. I want God's best.
Mm-hmm. And she is attractive. I'm just going to be honest.
She definitely is. You did well there. She took my breath away when I first saw her. It's cool.
What are you looking forward to most for being a father?
Wow.
Because we have a lot of guys out there, single guys. You know, maybe they are anticipating marriage. Maybe they're a little afraid of marriage. You know, we talk a lot on the show here about guys who maybe didn't inherit great stories or great examples from their parents. And they're fearful about bringing a boy, especially into the world and having to raise him in this culture. But what are you looking forward to?
Bringing a girl and getting a shotgun.
Hey, that may come. So just be ready.
Guys, right. Yeah. But not that I would do that, but I would like to scare him.
Yeah.
Look, quite frankly, there are so many single guys out there. I'll talk to you as a guy who understands what it means to be single. First of all, if you want a pure wife and someone of character to be a noble mother to your children, it starts with you showing character of a future noble father and a pure husband. You know, why should it be that, you know, your wife was pure, but you didn't stay pure? You know, we all make mistakes. No one's a mistake. Even though we make mistakes, we all know that God is a God of grace and healing. If we ask for forgiveness, yes. But it starts with today. It starts with you deciding that no matter how your parents treated you, that you know what alcohol does to a family. So that's why you're not going to become an alcoholic. It's not an excuse. Now, I had such a bad childhood, no example. And now, you know, it's okay for me to look at pornography and, you know, masturbate once every 2 weeks. It's not okay. You know, it's okay to lust over, you know, until I get married. No, it's not. It's not okay to perv. It's not okay to, you know, it become humble and holy, Christ-like, as best as you can by His grace, hunger and thirst for righteousness. And as you honor God, God will honor you.
Awesome. Thanks, Nick, so much for popping into the studio, visiting with us.
Love you.
You got to come by again. Next time I want to see that baby. So you got to come back and visit. And,
you know, I think we're coming back in 2014.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll do a dads and toddlers update.
And you really have 110,000 people downloading you?
We've had great numbers pulling in the last few months.
It's absolutely amazing. If you ever want me over the phone. Channel me in.
We're going to have more once you tell your friends about this. So let me just...
Oh, great. Great. Hey, and check out my website, lifewithoutlimbs.org. For our nonprofit organization of where we travel around the world. We're going to 25 countries next year. We were planning that, not knowing that we were pregnant at the time, but you know, we have faith to keep on going. It was going to be fun. And check out my Facebook, facebook.com/NickVujicicFans. And please check out my book, Unstoppable. You're going to love it. You can't put it down. I'm telling you.
Cool. The book, we are linking to it on the blog, so you can get it there. And follow him. Like we said, lifewithoutlimbs.org. You can figure out where he is, what he's doing, what he's talking about. Hopefully he'll continue to post pics of the fam and their travels and all that. So real pleasure to have you, Nick.
Thanks, Lisa, so love you. Thank you so much for having me.